evening. Please be seated. The third case today on the en banc calendar is case number 57956, Provincial Government of Marin Duque. Is that correct?
Marin Duque, Your Honor.
Marin Duque, excuse me, versus Placer Dome, Inc. and Barrick Gold Corporation. Are counsel ready to proceed?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Jim McCarthy. I represent the provincial government of Marin Duque in these proceedings. With me on our right are my co-counsel, Neil Peck and Kelly Dove. It's not a rumor. We'd like to reserve, and we'll try to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay.
By way of introduction, the district court was clearly correct on 2 points in this case. The first was that litigating this matter in Nevada would not be oppressive or vexatious or harassing to Barrick. The second was that the Philippine situs of events was the best forum, quote unquote, for this litigation. But then the district court went completely off the rails and dismissed the case in favor of either Toronto or Vancouver. In doing so, the court refused to either consider a conditional dismissal in favor of the Philippines. And that was so that neither Toronto nor Vancouver were the situs of the events at issue, or the place where the vast majority of witnesses and documents were located, or the place where the injuries were suffered, or the place where the damages were incurred. That place was the Philippines. The district court, in picking Vancouver, picked two places with absolutely no meaningful relationship to the case. The only thing that Toronto has going for it is that it is the headquarters of Barrick. That's it. There's no contact with the events, no witnesses, no documents, unless they're moved there.
So where do you get that in the record that there are no witnesses located in those two fora?
It is in the record, Your Honor. It's they use a...
Whereabouts?
Right. They use an affidavit, and there's a complete absence of Toronto witnesses.
Okay.
So there's no connection between the two forums. What Vancouver is the place where Placer Dome had its headquarters before it was extinguished, and it no longer exists. So those are the two forums to which this has been referred, as opposed to Nevada or the Philippine forum that they refused to consider. In our view, this happened because the court misapplied the body of Nevada forum nonconvenience law that's been developed by this court over a number of years, beginning with Swisco up through Mountain View in 2013. And it also occurred because the court took a very limited view of the doctrine of forum nonconvenience and of its powers as a court of equity in applying that doctrine. And that's where things started to go wrong. The result was an unprecedented ruling. I mean that literally. I'll get to that in a minute. And one affronting forum nonconvenience laws that exist in this state, but also one that's going to set a terrible precedent. I know every lawyer says that, but bear with me and I'll explain why. It's the unprecedented aspect. I really mean that. It's not an exaggeration. There's no hyperbole. We found no case in Nevada or elsewhere in which a court has concluded that a plaintiff's choice of forum was neither vexatious nor oppressive and then kicked it out of the court on forum nonconvenience grounds. None. Nowhere. Anywhere. Certainly not in Nevada. Certainly not anywhere else. Secondly, we found no case in Nevada or anywhere else in which a court resolved a forum nonconvenience motion by dismissing it outside of the original forum to a forum that was neither the plaintiff's choice nor the site of the events where it all happened. And so, in the last thing we count, we haven't found a single case in which a court, as this district court did, felt that its powers as a court of equity were limited by the defendant's choices in its forum nonconvenience motions. As to effects on Nevada law, the basic principles of forum nonconvenience are relatively simple, as stated in the law of this state and elsewhere. But there's a good body of it. It starts with the presumption, though, the first bedrock principle is that Nevada courts have a duty to decide the cases that come before them. That's from Swisco. That's also just part of the heritage of the courts and statutory structure. And the second part of that is only exceptional circumstances discharge that duty. You hear what was put before them. Second basic principle that all of you have seen throughout your lifetimes as judges is a plaintiff's choice of forum is to be respected and deferred to.
Even if it's a foreign plaintiff?
Yes, Your Honor.
And what about the cases indicating that they're entitled to less deference?
There are two streams of cases, Your Honor. One is the Uruguay line of cases, which is the sliding scale. And we look at how did this case get here? Was it bad motives? Was it intended to disadvantage everyone's side? Was it really just a place where it was brought? And that line of cases says if it's not for bad motives, it is you treat it as any other plaintiff, the foreign plaintiff. In the international world, we're going to see a lot of this. It's not a novel idea. It's not a novel idea that a foreign plaintiff would sue in a Nevada court. I'm sure we've seen a few of those, too. But the other line of cases would say, not that they're entitled to less deference, but they're entitled to some deference as is appropriate. And that would be the line of cases that begins with, say, Piper. But in no case do you get no deference. And that's what happened here. In fact, as I'll point out in a little bit greater detail, the deference is really to the defendants in this case. And foreign nonconvenience law was turned on its head as a result of the way the burdens shifted in this case. But first principle is form is to be respected. In that review, the court said, a plaintiff's selective form choice may only be denied under exceptional circumstances supporting another form. And I think that's a basic rule everybody would agree with. And the third part is in deciding whether exceptional circumstances exist, the key question has always been in Nevada and the federal courts, is whether a failure to grant the motion would result in harassment, oppression, vexatiousness, or inconvenience to the defendants. And as a result of that, it's always been the burden in Nevada and elsewhere for the defendant who wishes to change the form and move out of Nevada or to a different court in Nevada, it's a heavy burden to establish the fact of harassment, oppression, vexatiousness, or inconvenience to the defendant.
Well, in the district court order, the judge referenced vexatiousness. It looks like the only factor she didn't consider was inconvenience, and she found exceptional circumstances in this case. Isn't that correct?
She made a flat-out finding that there was no harassment, vexatiousness in this case, that Barrick would not be harassed, vexed, oppressed, or whatever.
So your contention is that her analysis with regard to exceptional circumstances was flawed, not that she didn't make those
Yes, that's right. It really was. Because she started from the right proposition. Barrick is everywhere. I've given the court a copy of their Barrick and Nevada publication from their website. You know, they're everywhere. They recently published a big thick one, how tight we are in Nevada. But they don't want to be sued here. They want this court to endorse them being sent to their home headquarters. There's no case in the foreign nonconvenience law that I'm aware of where the only way you go to, the only argument you cite is, it's my home headquarters, I want the case to go there. If you take the Piper aircraft decision, for instance, in that case, it was filed in Pennsylvania. One of the defendants was a Pennsylvania corporation. They argued that it should stay there. The court said, no, the events occur in Scotland, it's going there. And that's essentially what we were arguing, is that the events occurred in the Philippines. That's where it all happened. That's where the witnesses are. That's where the damages occurred. And that's what should happen. But that's only if we don't go to our chosen forum, which is here in Nevada. We filed this case in 2005. We've had them forum shop us all around the United States courts. We've been to the district court. We've been to the Ninth Circuit. We've been to the United States Supreme Court. We even had to argue before the U.S. Solicitor General's office to make sure there were no international implications. And now we're finally back in Clark County where we started.
Did the district court consider forum shopping?
No. In fact, if you read Barrett's brief, one of the points they make in their brief is they say there was no finding of forum shopping and they're disappointed by it all. There's no basis for it. There's no argument for it. From our perspective, We went, like most plaintiffs, to where the defendant can be found. And there can be found in this state, found all over the state. But we went where they were found. We weren't shopping for them. We were there assuming in the Philippines, but they had fled when, after the last disaster in 1996. For a lot of reasons explaining a lot of affidavits we submitted to the court, that didn't happen. Now, what happened here, though, is because, to go back to the vexatiousness point, what happened is the court expressly found non-vexatiousness and then dismissed, and in effect wrote that criterion out of Nevada form of non means law. I know I have to apologize, it's Nevada, but I'm too scarred by a French teacher. So the record should reflect I meant Nevada. And that, in writing that out, it took away the gateway. The gateway is it's real important. I won't be too long on this, but it just seems to me that what happened, when you go to a court, you invoke form of non-convenience, you are asking the court to use equity to relieve you of something that's legal. You do that because there's an inequity present. That inequity is the vexatiousness of the form that's originally chosen. Let me get to the second point, which is a really big point. The deference to the defense in this case was almost embarrassing. Over and over, the solution for the court and its opinion is to say, well, Barrick didn't consent to this, Barrick didn't agree to this, Barrick doesn't want to have this, Barrick's unwilling, so that limits my ability to issue remedies. What we had asked for is if the court here was not going to take it, its duty was to find the form in which it was convenient for all parties and the interest of justice could be served. That's the standard from the Koster Supreme Court decision and the leading statement of the subject. And that would be the Philippines. We filed here for all the right reasons. We chased them here. We had to come here. They fled the Philippines, and ultimately I had to leave.
Wouldn't that factor against you as far as vexatiousness and harassment are concerned as part of the formula and the consideration?
I'm not sure what you mean, Leonard.
The jurisdiction in the Philippines.
No, because remember, this was a huge operation in the Philippines for Cerebral Plaster Dome. They went there. It was a corrupt deal with Marcos. They bought themselves into this deal. They wrecked the environment in significant ways. Children died. It was a really awful set of circumstances. And then after the third disaster, which was the Black River disaster, they fled and have been fighting jurisdiction ever since. That's 1986. They've been fighting in the U.S. since 2005 in this court. The last point I want to make is the court didn't do what is the logical thing to do, send it to the forum where justice was most likely to be done. And that was because they're confused. They refused, they didn't consent, so therefore I can't do it. And the court misunderstood its power as a court, as an equitable court. It could have said, it should have said, to Barrick, you will accept jurisdiction of the Philippines, or stay here. It's a choice. You're not ordering them to go anywhere. The court doesn't have the power to order them to go anywhere. The court has the power to give them a choice. And the choice is, take this form, which is not vexatious to you. If you're so insistent on going somewhere else, then you go to the Philippines, and it's your choice. It's your choice, Barrick. The court didn't give them that choice, and as a result, it sent them to this strange combination of forums. Last time I said, Barrick, this is a very dangerous precedent, because if you don't have to prove up front that you're in an inequitable form, a vexatious form, anybody can file this motion. And it becomes an I'd rather be somewhere else, judge, motion. And then you have to go through that. Under the law, as developed by this case, if you then refuse to consent to the appropriate jurisdiction, and you consent only to your favorite jurisdiction, no matter how far out on the planet it is, the court cannot decide other than what you have proposed. We think this is a misguided decision. I'm down to 1 minute. I'd like to save that minute for rebuttal.
Okay, sir.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Steve Morris on behalf of the respondents. A few moments ago, Mr. McCarthy said that the province has chased Barrick here and that this is an appropriate forum. He says that against this background. This lawsuit was filed on October 4th, 2005. On October 5th, 2005, Mr. McCarthy was in Ottawa, Canada, where he announced this lawsuit and said it would proceed against Placer Dome Incorporated here. And remember a moment ago he said to you that this would not be, Canada would not be an appropriate forum for him. He was there on October the 5th, 2005, and could have filed this lawsuit there. He could have gone to British Columbia and filed the lawsuit there. He could have filed in any province in Canada. Process and subpoena power with respect to the production of witnesses is compulsory across Canada. He chose this forum, I believe, for a reason, because he thought he could persuade the district court that by just filing here and trumpeting the alleged activities, these evil activities and environmental torts that occurred in the Philippines, he could persuade the court out of sympathy to say, you can try your claims here. It is against this backdrop that the appellant, the province of Mern Duque, through Mr. McCarthy, who's been with them all these years in all jurisdictions, Canada, Nevada, and elsewhere, asks you to say that Valerie Adair, the district judge in this case, abused her discretion in deciding that she would not entertain a lawsuit brought by a foreign political entity that has no connection to Nevada, none whatsoever, against a Canadian corporate entity that is not present in Nevada, but was present, for example, when Mr. McCarthy was in Ottawa on October the 5th, 2005, and based on claims, foreign tort claims, that did not arise in Nevada and do not have any relationship to this state.
We are bombarded with information, whether it's true or not, that Barrick is doing some kind of business in the state of Nevada. Is that a true representation or not a true representation from a legal standpoint?
It is not a true representation. There is a Barrick Gold Strike Corporation here that is a remote subsidiary of Barrick Gold. And that company, that corporation, does conduct mining activities in this state. The Barrick Gold, which is a Canadian corporation, does not appear here. That's relevant, I think, to the Bowman case, which is in Mr. McCarthy's reply points and authorities, which were filed just a short time ago. He's making a contention, and when he boiled it down, what he's saying is the parent corporation, like the German corporation in Bowman versus Daimler Benz, is present in Nevada because it has a subsidiary that's doing business here. All of this was ventilated before the district court. All of the evidence on this point, including the joint appendix excerpts that he has waved around, were shown to the district court, thoroughly argued and considered in that court in reaching the decision that she did that is under challenge here today.
Was Barrick Gold Strike involved in the Philippines at all?
Pardon me?
Barrick Gold Strike, the Nevada entity.
No, it was not. And never has been. And in point of fact, no, it has not been. The province hasn't addressed a single factor or identified a single factor that the district court should have considered in evaluating whether this defendant's motion to dismiss for form nonconvenience should be granted or denied.
Let me ask you this. I hate to interrupt you, but the district court found exceptional circumstances in making its decision, correct?
Yes.
Tell me what factors were considered and explicitly set forth in making that determination. Well, I guess the determination in dismissing and then directing the case to D.C.
In accordance with settled form nonconvenience law, the district court considered what she described as and what the courts referred to as and what is identified in Gilbert by the U.S. the United States Supreme Court as the public and private interest factors. She addressed each one of those, and she concluded that Canada has a greater interest than Nevada in this litigation, that Canadian law may apply to some of the issues. She didn't say it apply to all. And Nevada has no law that's going to apply to this issue. She discussed the burden on the court system and concluded that notwithstanding a jury waiver, that the time and expense of addressing whether this case should proceed in this court or not, or whether this court had jurisdiction of this defendant to proceed, outweighed the convenience, if you will, of taking this case to Canada, if that's where the plaintiff wishes to go. She didn't force the plaintiff to go anywhere. But my point is this. The respondent, or the respondents in this case, are amenable to jurisdiction in Nevada. They have consented to it. They have, among other things, waived any statute of limitations defense they might make as of the date of filing of this case in this state on October the 4th, 2005. They have said, and the district court conditioned an order on this, that if this case is refiled in Nevada, the district court said she couldn't force it to be filed anywhere. She was right. All she has to do is identify an alternative forum, if there is one. If there isn't, we wouldn't be considering these public and private interest factors.
Are there any cases that you're aware of that support the position that dismissal in favor of two non-situs forums that the defendants would prefer is a proper determination?
I'm aware of a number of cases that say that the defendant has identified an alternative forum, and if it consents to jurisdiction there, or if it has consented to jurisdiction there, that would be an appropriate forum. I know of no case in which the plaintiff, as the province did here, countermoved after this motion for form nonconvenience, dismissed for form nonconvenience, was filed, in which she contended that the court was obligated to accept, as she said, the Philippines would obviously be the best place for this, but she couldn't order it. There isn't any case that says, state or federal, that says the plaintiff's choice of forum, or the plaintiff's, I guess in this case, alternative choice of forum under its countermotion, is the jurisdiction to which this case must be set. Now, one thing Mr. McCarthy did not mention to you that is in the briefs in this case, and it's also supported by the record. There has been a decision in the Philippine courts, in the trial court of Marin Duque, that holds that Palacio Domingue, which is the basis for his contention that Barrick should be in this case, is not subject to personal jurisdiction in the Philippines. That was the holding. That was filed several years ago, and before we wrote the motion to dismiss for form nonconvenience, and before we wrote our appellate brief in this case. Since then, and it's not a part of the record, was a second decision from the same court holding the same thing against a foreign plaintiff, against the plaintiff in that case. So it is, I think, that reason that Mr. McCarthy is here today urging the the proposition that we should select this form, and if we don't select this form, you should force Barrick into a form in which there is no jurisdiction over it. And in answer to your question, Justice Paragrave, there is no case, state or federal, there is none that compels that result or in which that result was affirmed by an appellate court. There just isn't. There isn't any law that holds that a foreign plaintiff's choice of form, particularly when the plaintiff has no relationship to the forum and the dispute has no relationship to the forum, the plaintiff's choice of form, as Mr. McCarthy contends in his reply points and authorities, citing inappropriately the Cariano case, which involved a domestic California plaintiff, there isn't any case that holds that the plaintiff's choice of form is entitled to what he describes as high deference, and sometimes refers to in the papers as strong deference. There is authority across the country, state and federal. We have identified much of it, not all of it, in our papers, in our briefs, and in the motion to Judge Shadero, that holds that a foreign plaintiff is not entitled to a presumption that its choice of forum, unrelated to the lawsuit, establishes that the forum is convenient. There isn't any case in which the court has held, on the point Mr. McCarthy said, our district court went off the rails. There isn't a single court that has held that the absence of vexatiousness to the defendant means that the plaintiff has selected the most convenient forum, and a motion for forum nonconvenience should be denied without consideration of the private and public interest factors that Judge Adair carefully went through and documented, Your Honors, in the order that she wrote, which I'm sure has been reviewed by the court. There isn't anything that we can offer you, and there really isn't anything Mr. McCarthy can offer you, to support the proposition that Judge Adair should have attached the condition to her order of granting this motion to dismiss that this case proceed in a jurisdiction in which the respondent is not subject to jurisdiction. There's no case that even suggests, much less requires, that the court select the best forum, or for that matter, the forum that the plaintiff wants. Remember, this is not a plaintiff's motion here. This is a motion brought by the respondent that says to the court, we think, without consideration of jurisdictional issues, we think this forum is inconvenient and is inappropriate to receive this case and to adjudicate it. And we suggest to you that there is an alternative forum where there is jurisdiction and a fair and full opportunity to present all of the claims you wish to utilize this forum, this strange forum to this dispute, to adjudicate.
Now, that it just brings up, you know, the Canadian forum certainly would be convenient for you, but isn't that something to be considered on the other side as well?
In substance, you would, and Judge Adair did and concluded otherwise, if, for example, there were no remedy available in the foreign court, if the defendant was not subject to jurisdiction there. The question isn't whether the Canadian forum would be more convenient for us than this forum. The question is whether this is a convenient forum for this lawsuit at this time, given the fact that there are other venues. Canada provides two different courts to adjudicate this case, but by no means did the judge say that that's exclusive.
Well, she conditioned the dismissal that you consent to jurisdiction in either B.C. or Ontario, right?
And we did.
Yeah.
We consented to jurisdiction.
Well, you kind of like Canada as a forum.
Well, Canada has a much more of a relationship to this litigation than Nevada, and one of the reasons we like Canada, we pitched to the district court. Or said Canada is more a better convenient place.
I think there were arguments as well that Nevada was appropriate because there's many Duquesnos that reside here, and that there's other factors out there. I'm wondering if the court considered as far as the USGS witnesses, other witnesses that are. Located in the United States. Did she get into those factors? Did she consider those as part of her exceptional
circumstances? She did, and she did so in response to the declarations that we presented from authorities there in Canada that showed that there would be access, there would be more access to witnesses and to evidence in Canada than there would be in the United States and there would be in Nevada. Nevada doesn't have available to it process, as is available in Canada, to subpoena and compel witnesses to attend and testify.
Was there any testimony that any of them would be unwilling to show up and testify?
There was no testimony on that. The testimony was that there are no witnesses in Nevada that have anything to say about this. And there are a number of witnesses. There's no one jurisdiction in which every witness that might be relevant is present.
Of course.
But Canada has, and it has compulsory process nationwide to enforce the appearance and testimony of witnesses, whether that be for discovery or whether that be for trial.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Madam.
Mr. McCarthy. A couple of other quick points. I was not in Canada to announce the filing of the lawsuit. I was invited to speak with a member of parliament about a bill that was there that reflected an effort to get control over extraterritorial minors. There was a press conference. It was in Las Vegas. One of the problems with what you just heard, let me step back. Justice Perry, you asked a question about are there any forms of which two non-CITES forms have ever been approved? No. That's the answer. In terms of the evidentiary record the judge considered, you look through the entire order, you will not find a single thing we gave her. We gave her dozens of affidavits, huge numbers of exhibits. They're not mentioned at all. In the course of the hearing, she mentioned this 17 number. The 17 number was totally wrong. I wrote a letter to the court, which I provided to the court today, comparing the number of witnesses and where they are. They're overwhelmingly not in Canada. Overwhelmingly. We showed that you will not find that anywhere. We provided affidavits on the unsatisfactory quality of Canadian justice, including one by Zubat, never mentioned anywhere. And those are important considerations because you as a court of equity or the district court as a court of equity decided you're going there because it's the equitable thing to do. Justice will be done. And if the system is stacked against you, as the Canadian system is, and I can explain in detail, but I don't have the time, then it's not a fair scheme. But none of that evidence was considered, mentioned, referred to in the record anywhere. And none of our affidavits, which are this thick, were ever mentioned. You will see only references to the affidavits submitted by the defense. And that was horrifying to us. But that's the way it was. It was a big job to dump on a district judge. It really was. But we've got to do the right thing here, and that's what we're asking this court to do. But I'll stay here. If I can't stay here, I'll go to the forum that it should be originally, but events changed that. And so we'll ask the court to give us our chance.
It's now almost 10 years since we filed the suit.
Mr. McCarthy, I do have serious reservations about a judge in a forum nonconvenience order suggesting a reasonable alternative forum in a country in which the country itself, at least by Mr. Morris's representation, has concluded in one court case lacks jurisdiction over Placer Dome. Would you address that argument
by
Mr. Morris?
Mr. Morris is referring to a case that's called the Natal case, N-A-T-A-L.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in the wake of this disaster, where there were a number of small NGO-type lawyers tried to file suits, they had no idea how to serve anybody or anything, or how to deal with international litigation. One of them was the NGO that filed the Natal case. And essentially, and I'm not exaggerating, I wish I had a transcript, when it came time for the personal jurisdiction hearing, the lawyer showed up with no evidence, with sort of a dog ate my evidence explanation, or give him another chance. He didn't show up with any evidence. There was an interlocutory ruling. I was not aware. It's not final, but I haven't checked that, and I will. If I find something concrete, I will definitely inform the court on that. But I don't know the present status of it. But that was an interim interlocutory ruling at that time. Now, I should also say that in the course of the stay for the mediation, there were Philippine proceedings that were stayed as well, in which personal jurisdiction was teed up, including one before the Supreme Court of the Philippines. Now, while that stay is in effect, that hasn't been adjudicated. That will be the definitive statement on that, and I would hope from our perspective that it says yes. But the question this court has is, this court can't order them to go to the Philippines. This court can say, the suit is fairly filed in Nevada. Plaintiff's entitled to the choice of forum. It's the kind of thing we deal with, and we're going to do our jobs unless there's a forum where justice can be done and it's convenient for all of the parties, not just the Canadian parties, for all those parties.
Finding number 8 on page 8 of the judge's order under public interest factors recites a concern about, with the court, or by the court, I guess, the lack of familiarity with the law in Canada or in the Philippines.
What is
the uniqueness of the law in those jurisdictions that the court's discussing?
Well, I think in terms of procedurally, they're quite different. The affidavits we submitted, which were not mentioned, regarding the inadequacies of Canadian procedure, show how badly limited this case would be. But that's procedure. On substance, there are problems. Mr. Morris mentioned remedies. The Zimbabwe affidavit that we submitted from a partner of a Canadian law firm on exactly these issues pointed out there are remedies that we can't get, that there won't be an injunction issued against anything involving foreign land. That a public claim like mine is not something that they're going to award. That's not satisfactory. It's not a satisfactory form. The judge either didn't read or ignored all of our evidence on this point. As to the Philippines, we have every prestigious academic and every prestigious lawyer and ex-Supreme Court justices in the Philippines have submitted affidavits as to how it will be tried in the Philippines. None of that made the record. None of it. Now, in terms of the substance of the law, and I think this is a key question from a foreign community standpoint, Philippine law, due to the long American affiliation with the Philippines, is based on American law. It's very, very similar in almost every single respect. The legal business is conducted in English. It's a very close analogy, and our courts, not Nevada, but the courts throughout the United States have routinely dealt with Philippine law questions. That's not true in Canada. At the time we filed our response, we could not find a single case where Philippine law was referenced in Canada, and it doesn't match the way U.S. law matches. I think you try and find yourself quite comfortable with a Philippine law case. I feel quite comfortable. I'm not trained in Philippine law. But I do feel quite comfortable dealing with legal questions. But that's an advantage in Nevada, clearly, in terms of the common shared heritage and Most of the environmental laws, which are the subject of this case, are based on our environmental laws.
Okay, are there any other questions? All right, thank you, Mr. McCarthy and Mr. Morris, for your excellent arguments here today and your briefs, and the case will stand submitted.